You know your very earliest memories of music as a child, if you can recall the earliest experiences that
There
aroused
was
you.
always music in my parents' home, but my own first impression when I was, I think, 5 or 6, was the bridal chorus of from Lohengrin, you know, the third act. I was quite enthusiastic about that. And as I very soon learned that my father was a so-called Wagnerian, so it fitted very well in the picture.
Now, you began singing very young in your time, and it's quite extraordinary to read in your autobiography that you were already singing the Winterreise in your teens, and it was one of the
Yes.
very first works, in fact, you ever
Yes.
sang.
I heard it sung by Emmy Leisner, the contralto, who gave recitals, a lot of recitals, each winter here in Berlin. And she sang the Winterreise too. And I was very impressed by the music and started to play through for myself at the piano and to sing a little bit. And I didn't dare to sing really at the time. I was maybe 13 or 14 at that. And so I learned the piece, and slowly I recognized maybe I will be able to sing it one day.
And at that young age, these poems must have been terrifying, really.
The subject wasn't terrifying to me because I didn't have any experience anyway, so I just loved the music. How Schubert was simple and singing all the time, very many wonderful inventions of melody and so on, and rhythmical too, of course. But all the other things came later on. But I don't think what is usually said, I heard it very often from England too, that one wishes for an older voice, one wishes for an old man to sing this, because it's not true, because it's a young man who is singing this. And I'm sure Schubert didn't have all these experiences he describes in the cycle himself, but he just, he was in love very much with a girl he wasn't able to marry because the parents of the girl wanted rich parents, so rich partner. So that, of course, was his misfortune.
Surely works like the Winterreise are as powerful to a young teenage person or as to a very old person. The power of love and rejection, I feel, is not to do with age, and it's a work. And maybe this is one
Yeah,
reason why you have done it
yes,
so many times and recorded it
yes,
now so many times.
yes, yes. Maybe this is not especially the reason for that, but the reason is the music in itself. I think it's so rich and so unreachable in a way that you can surround the work as often as you want. You will never reach the center, really. I try to. Sometimes I got a little closer to the essence of the work, but not very often and never completely.
It's disarming to hear you say this. The first song, particularly, I feel when I hear you sing this, and over the years, I've heard you sing this for nearly 40 years now.
Yeah.
This first song, it feels like a huge journey that begins and you know will never end except at the very, very end. And
Yes.
yet, it is still the freshness of having said goodbye. It is a most extraordinary first song, actually.
Yes, it is also many things at one time. It's a kind of overture. You know exactly which is the state of the singing person and what happened before. And that's all of the story you hear during this whole cycle. It exists out of 24 stations of suffering and passion, and it's mainly all the same content, but treated in very, very, very differing ways, by Schubert.
Blumenstrauß.
Now, of course, at this time also, we're now coming to the late 1940s, you made your professional debut on stage singing the Marquis of Posa, or Marchese di Posa, in Don Carlo of Verdi. This is, Posa, a very, very demanding piece to do, especially because he seems to be the only man in the entire, or personality in the entire opera, who is absolutely positive.
Oh, he has, of course, many problems, because he is secretly in love with Elizabeth of Valois, and he is trying to reach a certain politic, which is not quite possible with this young man. And He has to die anyway for his purposes, and without having reached what he wanted. So, and on the other hand, it's a very heroic part in a way, voice from a standpoint of voice. It's a heavy part, and for a beginner, almost impossible. And I must say, I hesitated first very much. So, but then the director of the opera house, Mr. Tietjen, said, "In 4 weeks, there is a premiere, and you will do it. And I know you can, so you will do it."
And you did.
Yes, I did. Somehow, the CDs came out a short time ago, and I don't agree at all. It doesn't matter.
Have you found, you know, over the years, really, that when you hear anything back you've done, that inevitably time is different from even a few days earlier, that maybe you it's difficult to hear anything that one has done, I suppose?
Sometimes not. Sometimes I'm quite. I find it enjoyable to listen to one's own records. When there's a rare repertoire, and also if you were in a good state and you remember quite well when you were in a good state and when you were not so good. And so sometimes I like to listen to it, but not very often.
Let's have a look then at what happened afterwards, because one of the first people in your life that as a conductor had a very strong influence on you, or effect on you is probably a better word, was the great Wilhelm Furtwängler.
Yes, yes. He was a fatherly friend, I must say. Was very concerned about my future and what I was going to do, signing new contracts and so on and so on. And he warned me and he was very careful. And so when I proposed to sing Mahler, he was shocked first because he didn't like Mahler all his life. But then he did it. He always said, "Mahler, yes, but the first symphony until third movement, maybe. But then, from then on, I can't." Maybe he was a little jealous because his own style is sometimes also in this direction. Of course, not this. As a composer, I mean, not with this clear direction, you know, clear intention.
It's interesting, isn't it, you say that, because when you recorded with him the Lieder eines fahrenden Gesellen, which was, I think, about 1951, 52, possibly a bit
51,
later, 51. But of course, it's very easy now, isn't it, to forget that at that time, many people felt about Mahler the way Furtwängler.
Yes, that is. And I'm very proud that I was the very first singer to do complete Mahler Lieder programs, and also to sing all these orchestral things, because nobody did at that time. Only very few people, and if they did, only one of the cycles, nothing more. I think of Jenny Turrell, for instance, or I don't know. A couple of people did, but it was not very much beloved. These little signs which I got on my jacket, Mahler grooves, I got only when I had sung Mahler all over the world already.